Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
So that very grace that God gave to us in salvation, I'm expressing that now by giving that unknown grace, because so often it's not known. People are not experiencing that freedom to be able to give to somebody else. I can express that grace by giving.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
The question is, what are those giving living principles? What is that unknown grace that we don't hear much about? I want to give you four. There are more than this out of 2 Corinthians 8. And if you have your Bible, these really are stewardship truths. We've talked about us being a steward because this area of money, and we're really kind of pulling together this whole topic of missions outreach and giving of ourselves. And you have to understand that the Lord makes the poor and He makes the rich. As it says in 1 Samuel 2:7, the Bible does not teach that being wealthy is a sin. Some of the great men of the Old Testament, as Abraham and Job and Solomon, were extremely wealthy, but Paul also knew how to abound and how to be abased. And the Scripture says much about this whole topic of money. Out of the 33 parables in the Gospels, 16 of them have to do with how we handle money. Christ said more about money and how to handle it than He did heaven and hell combined. And in the Bible, there are 500 references to prayer, 500 references to faith, and over 2,000 references to money and possessions. And the fact is that in our economy today, it's not much different than it was in the life in which Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so when we say all this, I want you to understand, when we look at 2 Corinthians 8, I want to simply give to you these four giving living principles. Number one, notice the point is, before I give any material possessions to God, He must first want me to give myself. Notice what He says in chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." In other words, we're making known to you the grace, the charis, the gift of God. He's not talking now, dealing with the area of salvation, is the area of giving. He uses the same term in verse 6, that same grace also. The end of verse 7, in this same grace also. Verse 9, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that very grace that God gave to us in salvation, I'm expressing that now by giving that unknown grace, because so often it's not known. People are not experiencing that freedom to be able to give to somebody else. I can express that grace by giving. Now notice how it's done. I mentioned the first one, before I give any material possessions to God, He must first want me to give myself. That's what He says in verse 5, when He says that, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know what the will of God is? You giving yourself to the Lord. He's talking about Christians here. Who are they? They are, verse 1, the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The churches of Macedonia were the Roman provinces of Greece, because these were the believers that were moved out of Jerusalem. They went to Judea, Samaria. And as the gospel went forth out of Judea and Samaria, there was a church up in Antioch, and up in Antioch became really the missionary sending church. It became larger and more populous than even Jerusalem in the sense of giving. The gospel then went with Paul and his first missionary journey, his second missionary journey, and ended up moving rather than moving out towards Asia, ended up moving towards Europe. And that's where you end up finding these churches that Paul's talking about are these churches here on the north end. He left Troas, he went up to Philippi, and up in Philippi is where you also find Berea and Thessalonica. These were the churches that Paul was mentioning and saying about them in verse 1. Those are where the churches are. Notice what he says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they were abounding. They had a surplus of the riches of their generosity. They were giving, notice verse 3, for their power. And these were really characteristics of sacrificial giving. He said, I'm bearing record, yea, beyond their power. It was beyond their ability. And they were willing of themselves. They were wanting to be involved in the giving. He said, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were demanding, and they had the right to share in this grace. They wanted to be a part of giving. It wasn't they were reluctant. It wasn't that they were forced and manipulated and twisted their arm. Paul was saying these folks in the north up here were so willing to end up giving that what they did was, verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And out of that giving of the Lord, they found themselves now that anything else they had, really they realized that God really wanted us, not our money. And he can get all the money that he wants anyway. I remember being introduced to this topic years ago because in the ministry we were at, we would be in churches like this and we didn't take the offering as we traditionally do here. Nothing scriptural or unscriptural about that necessarily. We ended up putting boxes in the back. And as people got done with the service, they would put their monies in the back in these what we call love boxes, love gift boxes. And we would preach on this particular topic. And I remember I was standing in the back actually at the end of the service. And one guy came back and he started to act like he was trying to get in this box. I said, what are you doing, man? He says, well, you know, he talks about want to give him myself. I just want to give him myself to God. And so he was like half serious about this. I said, well, I think that what he's talking about is being willing. You don't have to get in a box, okay? You can just like willingly give of yourself. And therefore, if he's got you, he's got everything else with this. And the fact is that when we give ourselves to God, everything else comes with it. Point number two, notice if you would in verse 8, when he says from verse 5 to 8, insomuch that we desired Titus as he had begun, so we also would finish in you that same grace. So he introduced Titus as the one that was collecting this money. Therefore, he says, as you abound in everything, just as you're abounding in faith and in your speaking and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, you see that you abound in this grace also. People of Corinth, he's challenging you, people of Corinth. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment. You're not doing this because you have to, he's saying. You get to, people of Corinth, but by occasion of the frowardness or the sincerity of others, those churches that were in the north, that you would prove or you would test the sincerity of your own love. You know what Paul's saying? Point number two, second giving living principle, that the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is the expression of my love. Paul's saying, listen, that same level of love is going to be expressed with the same level of giving, or my level of giving that became sacrificial, these people, he's being challenged that at Corinth, that if they would give, that expression of love was even greater. Because they realized, listen, love is not a feeling. It's an action. And the opposite of love is not hate. Listen, the opposite of love is not hate. It's selfishness. When you end up having marital conflict, those of you that are helping families, the opposite of love is not hate. It's selfishness. When people get selfish, that's when you end up finding great conflict and strife in a home. You same thing in churches. That's why Paul was addressing this point, showing the sincerity of their love. They were realizing that this area of giving was not just now for these churches in context, but for us today. What that means is we as well can be in a place to be willing to give. I've said before, as it is so true, giving is not a way to raise funds. It's a way to grow Christians. And as you end up growing in the Lord, you find yourself in a better place to realize that just as Paul was saying, the sincerity of your love, someone has wisely said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can end up giving without loving. You can put money in a plate or money in a box without loving, but you cannot love, genuinely, have the love of Christ and the grace of God in your life without giving. Something is not right when that takes place. That's why Paul said, listen, the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is that expression of my love. Number three, he also makes comment in verse 9. He said it this way, and he follows the thought. He said, I'm not speaking by commandment, verse 8. Verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, you would be made rich. That's the incarnation. He says, Paul is addressing by Christ's own example that he gave to us. Number three, he says it this way, I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich. And that's why Paul was saying, listen, am I willing to be made materially poor if that was necessary, as it was with Christ, who spiritually emptied himself so that we would be made rich, in order that those others would be spiritually rich? Am I willing to say, God, I'm going to invest into this so that others would be spiritually rich? We've seen this happen as we've invested towards missions, as our church has basically established our regular ongoing obedience giving, that we were able to use the ongoing ministry here. And above and beyond that, giving by faith to projects, including people, as we've done. And you know what that does? That motivates them to say, I'm going to end up continually giving this. It is no different than what Paul is saying and encouraging these people at Corinth. You give. In fact, he went on with this. Notice verse 10. And herein, I'm giving my advice. This is expedient. This is advantageous for you who has begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward or to be desirous a year ago. He says, now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. You know what he's saying? You follow through. You be faithful. You said, this is what we're going to give. Just like those churches up there, Paul's motivating these people at Corinth. You keep doing that because the commitments that you make and the giving that you give is the ongoing willingness for you to sacrificially give. And that is a powerful truth, not just in the area of giving, but in our own commitments that we make. I'll give you an illustration of that, even as churches. And this is primarily in the area of finances, but you look at Paul's writings that are inscripturated to us like churches today. If you have said, as he said it this way, if you are saying, hey, I have a readiness to will, then Paul said, then you perform it. You do that. Now, that can make application not just to money. You say, I'm doing that on your money. That's great. What other commitments have you made? This is a good time to say this, so I'm going to put it in because the application is very specific. If you've made commitments to other responsibilities that you carry, you need to do it. Did you willingly say, no one twisted your arm, but you said, hey, I'm going to help. Hey, I'll teach Sunday school. Hey, I'll assist in Sunday school. I'll help serve in the nursery. Hey, I'm going to be a part of the choir. It really doesn't matter at this point whether you feel like it or not. Did you make a commitment? You had a willingness to do? Did you perform it? Are you performing?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.